Let's get together, talk about the movies that we saw this week. We'll have discussions, talk film news, we'll laugh a lot and act like geeks. Sometimes we'll have a guest or two, sometimes it's just the two of us. Let's crack some jokes and tell some folks to come along and hang with us!
Mike and Mike go to the movies. Mike and Mike go to the movies.
Yeah!
You have chosen wisely.
If you don't know Jurassic Park, you don't know shit. Might as well be this podcast catchphrase. It's Mike and Mike go to the movies. I'm Mike Smith, and joining me, as always, is a man about to sing a song about your favorite fearless hero.
Mike Tacriccio.
How's you doing, Mike?
I'm doing just great. Yeah, that was like a like foundational moment in the movie for me. when they said that, I was like, is this me?
Is this my life that I'm watching on screen?
I got in the movie.
Right. Yeah. What's going on, Mike? What's been going on?
Not a whole lot. Hanging out, ready to talk some fun movies. I was like nervous for a second earlier in the weekend before we started, we had a couple days before recording, and I was forgot what movie I had to watch and didn't text you about it. I was like, yeah. I think it's this one. It'll just be funny if it's not. And then two, I was like, before that, I was like, man, I haven't watched anything. I got to watch so much. And then the wave of relief rolled over me. I was like, oh, it's just one movie I have to watch. I love when that happens.
Yeah, as we've talked about before, whenever there's discussions, you always get stressed out about it because you feel like you have to watch a bunch of stuff.
It's like I got to study for the test is how I feel, you know?
And for me, discussions are like the easiest episodes. Like, I don't know what I've been watching the last few weeks. Just toss them in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Makes Mike Watches, weirdly, are the ones that stress me out more because there's something very specific that I have to watch in a very like short amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have your rotation schedule. You're a very planned man.
I do try to plan it out. Yeah, I feel like those plans have gone by the wayside in recent years, and I've actually tried to bring that back. I have a rotation now.
You do. It's back. Stuff.
Oh yeah, the rotation's back of the various things I'm watching.
That's it. So it's over for us bitches because Mike Smith's got the rotation back.
Exactly. However, the rotation can be disrupted at any time by stuff I have to watch for the podcast. That's
fair.
That's the thing. But the rotation has served me pretty well so far this year. I got to watch The Wind Rises and Who's That Knocking at My Door? What a Picture That Was, and all that stuff. In a Lonely Place.
Don't try and sneak a discussions in the beginning of this episode. I see what you're doing.
These are all movies I've already talked about in discussions.
Okay, fine.
Today is a Mike Makes Mike Watch. We were talking about two movies and only two movies.
So help me God.
Yeah, so we do these once a month. I make Mike watch something that he's never seen. He makes me watch something that I've never seen. And today, I am making Mike D watch 2016's Swiss Army Man, while he's making me watch 2022's Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Same level of cinema.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
I would. Yeah.
I pretty much put them right up there neck and neck. So which one of these movies would you like to talk about first, Mike?
Man, trying to picture this double feature in any kind of cohesive way is pretty tough. But I think there are through lines potentially between them. Let's do Swiss Army Man first.
Okay, all right. Let's do it. It's time frame. Mike Makes Mike Watch.
I hope they choose right. Mike's watching Mike's movie. Picked for him specially. Whoa.
Okay, buddy?
Okay, buddy.
You're a miracle. Or I'm just hallucinating from starvation.
You're special.
I'm special.
There's 7 billion people on the planet. You might be lucky enough to bump into the one person you want to spend the rest of your life with.
This is the life I've forgotten.
This is just the beginning.
All right, it's time for a Mike Makes Mike Watch, and that was from the trailer for Swiss Army Man from 2016, directed by the Daniels and starring Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe. So, Mike D., I think the reason I wanted to make you watch this movie is that this is a movie that I really, really loved. I saw it in 2016 when it came out. I believe it was my number three movie of that year. Like, it was very high up on my top 10 list. Number three behind La La Land and The Nice Guys were my one and two, I think.
Wow.
If I were making that list today, Nice Guys would probably be number one.
Yeah.
But Swiss Army Man was very high up there for me. I really, really loved this movie. I have not seen it since then. So yes, it's been 7 years since you looked at me. It's been 7 years since I've watched this movie. I have not seen it since theaters. And yeah, I just wanted to see how you would react to it, especially because you're such a huge fan of the Daniels follow-up film, Everything Everywhere All at Once, which, yes, of course, won Best Picture of the Oscars a couple of years ago, was a big centerpiece of the complete works. You know, that was a big part of the Michelle Yeoh season. And that was your number one movie of 2022, I believe.
Yes, it was. Yeah, definitely. A big fan of that movie. And I don't know why I never got around to Swiss Army Man. I mean, I guess when it first came out, it was definitely a bigger ask to have watched it, you know, smaller names, smaller profile at the time, very weird premise and movie, and from everything I heard about it, you know, the farting corpse movie,
yep,
kind of thing. So I was like, I don't know. Yeah, sure. I'm sure it's fine. Even though I know you were a big fan of it. And then I don't know what it was that made me not go back to it after the Everything Everywhere All at Once fever hit, you know? So I'm glad you did make me watch it.
Yeah. So what did you think of Swiss Army Man, Mike?
Pretty good. I mean, it's so weird. I think it was really uneven for me. The first half ish.
Okay.
I was like, you can see all the Daniels stuff, right? The like right away, the beginning of it opens with Paul Dano stranded on an island, is going to hang himself.
Yeah.
And he looks out onto the shoreline and sees the corpse of Daniel Radcliffe wash up. And then he's doing the farting thing and it turns into him riding Daniel Radcliffe's farting corpse like a jet ski off of this deserted island. And I was like, this is definitely Daniels.
Yeah. This feels very similar to Everything Everywhere.
Absolutely. Which is very funny. But then it becomes this weird thing, of course, you know, the how much of this is him imagining what's happening. Paul Dano's character, he is so shocked at the beginning of the movie when he sees Daniel Radcliffe's corpse that he falls off the cooler he's standing on and does hang himself, and the rope snaps. But I had just listened to an episode of The Movies That Made Me, where they started talking about the Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge episode of Twilight Zone, which is about a guy who's hanged during the Civil War and the rope snaps and he runs all the way home, and it's this whole thing, only to reveal at the very last second that this is all a dream as he's falling while being hanged.
Right, yes.
So I was like, are we gonna do that? Is that what this is gonna be? Because he's the rope that he does fall off, he does start to hang himself. So I don't know, that's just a whole other thought. But yeah, it was kind of uneven. I wasn't super into it even when Daniel Radcliffe comes alive, and then it's them, his erection is a compass, and that's how they're getting out of the forest. Like, it is funny, absolutely, but I just like wasn't engaged with it until the moment in the movie where they fall down the hill from the bear. They're being chased by a bear, and Daniel Radcliffe sees Mary Elizabeth Winstead, which is hilarious, as the phone background.
Yeah.
And thinks that's his wife or girlfriend from when he was alive. And so it's Paul Dano constructing this elaborate DIY like bus and restaurant, and like they're reenacting scenes together of their life, and like,
right,
they're falling in love with each other. I don't know, like that whole sequence and montage, and there's a song where Daniel Radcliffe is singing and he's like, we just needed a montage, like he's just like talking about what they're doing in the movie in the song, which is very funny. And so yeah, once that stuff started happening and it had more of like I want to say purpose. I feel like the other stuff at the beginning is just kind of like goofy and weird. And then this is like this, the like exuberant life affirming weirdness of Everything All Everywhere All at Once. Like you can see all of that stuff here.
Yeah.
And then I was like in, I was on the wavelength again. So like about halfway through the movie, I was like, huh, and I like lean forward and steeple my fingers, you know, it's like that kind of thing. So I ended up having a lot of fun in the back half of the movie. And then the insanity of them ending up in the backyard of Elizabeth Winstead or Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And all that stuff is very funny. Shane Carruth is in there, which is very weird. He's like a coroner.
I forgot about that, yeah.
For like 1 second, and I was like, that's a strange choice in retrospect now, now that he's a bad guy. So yeah, I ended up being really into the movie, but it was a struggle for me at the beginning, as well, I guess I'll say.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I think that's I think that is kind of the case with the movie. Like, it feels like a movie that a lot of people are going to struggle with, right?
Yeah.
But I remember seeing it. I mean, I saw it in theaters. I believe I actually saw it with Kyle Cullen, our editor / music supervisor, who is editing this podcast right now. So maybe he can chime in if he wants to. you don't have to, Kyle, but if you want to, you can.
I will chime in real quick. This was my favorite movie of that year. It was the weirdest, most bizarre, yet life-affirming movie I had ever watched, and I absolutely adored it.
But I believe we were both like pretty into it early on. Like, I think it is just like it's pretty funny early on, and so that kind of helped.
Yeah.
But it is like one of those things where it's like, how far can this premise go? You know, where the idea, it's a two-hander with Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe. Daniel Radcliffe as a corpse who you think is not going to talk during the movie. He's right. a dead body. And then eventually he does start talking, like in like really like pained corpse-like.
like a zombie, yeah.
Yeah, like sort of like zombie-esque or whatever. I think it's a really amazing performance from Daniel Radcliffe.
Actually. I watched, when I was watching the movie and he's got like his jaw is a little misaligned, you know, and his one eye is droopy, like the eyelid and all this stuff. And I downloaded, it had the featurettes, it had the behind the scenes thing in it. And it's just like, you know, the 16-minute like making of thing.
Yeah.
And it had some like outtakes, and Daniel Radcliffe is just doing that with his face. That's like, that was one of those, like the craft of acting moments for me. It was like, this is insane. How is he keeping his eyelid like that while having just, and then like somebody flubs a line and his face goes back to normal. And he's like, oh, sorry guys, hold on. Can we start over? It's like, what? This is insane. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, this was, you know, Daniel Radcliffe, somebody who, you know, obviously, you know, was Harry Potter. He played he played Harry Potter in the titular. He was the titular Harry Potter. Yeah. You know, out of that franchise, I think he is the one who has made like the weirdest choices like after those movies. And I think has resulted in some of my favorite performances. I mean, you have this movie, Swiss Army Man, but was it last year, 2 years ago? Weird, the Al Yankovic movie where he plays Weird Al.
Right.
Incredible. Very, very, very good. I really, really loved seeing him on that. And I feel like he experiments and does like weirder stuff. You know, Emma Watson, I think, has like popped up in like various other things and like other roles. And like, you know, I think she's a very good actress. And then Rupert Grint finally showed up again in Knock at the Cabin, and he was pretty good in that.
Well, he's been on that TV show that
the M. Night Shyamalan show, Servant.
Servant. Yeah. Yeah. So he got in with Shyamalan, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. You know, but otherwise, I think Rupert Grint like bought an ice cream truck and is just like an ice cream guy in London, right? Like that's his
thing. I mean, if I was one of these people.
Yes. Why would you not be?
That's what I would do. Yeah, absolutely.
But I feel like Radcliffe has followed like the Elijah Wood route of like, okay, post Lord of the Rings, I'm going to go star in like Wilfred on FX. You know, like that's.
Yeah. Like, just, didn't Daniel Radcliffe have some weird TV show? I mean, he's in a couple of weird TV shows, I think. But
yeah, I mean, he's a voice role on the show Mulligan, which is an animated apocalypse show. Co-created by, yeah, sure. Yeah, he's popped up in a few things. Digman. He's on Digman. I'm looking at his thing. Oh, Miracle Workers, I think this might be what you're thinking of.
Maybe.
It was like a TBS show.
Yeah, I think that is it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Daniel Radcliffe and Steve Buscemi was on it. Yes. Yeah, he just does like weird shit, and it's cool to see. It's absolutely nice. Like you made as much money as like a human can possibly make on like the biggest franchise of all time, and now you can just kick back and do like experiment, do weird stuff with your art.
Yeah, do whatever you want. And and in this movie, it really shows. It's like just like a fearless performer. Like, you know, that's like the only way to describe what he's doing. Just farting all the time, you know.
Yes. Yeah. It's nothing but farts and boners. And it's going to rub some people the wrong way. But I think if you're on its wavelength, the movie does like ultimately become like a sort of life affirming thing. Right. Like that's kind of what it ultimately builds to. And it really does feel of a piece with Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, it's like thematically hitting a lot of the same territory while also doing a lot of the same like gross gags that Everything Everywhere has. And it's so interesting to me that like this movie, you know, was, I think, a pretty like well-liked hit, like when it came out, like, you know, a hit in a broad sense. Like, critics for the most part liked it. It played at the Sundance Film Festival. It won like an award there. It didn't really get any kind of like major awards buzz, you know. It didn't get any Oscar nominations or anything like that. And it's so weird that like 6 years later, the Daniels come back with a second movie, sweeps the Oscars. Like, it's just like, and it's a very similar movie, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely has. I think one of the most interesting like aesthetic carryovers between the two movies is the like DIY feel to it. Like yeah. Especially in Swiss Army Man, because they're in the woods, right? Like, and it also has like a like weirdly environmentalist subtone to it or whatever, because everything that Faldano builds to like construct this like world where they're gonna act out is like garbage that they're finding in the woods. Like, it's all about like, you know, it's all the like plastic bottles and pizza boxes and all this trash, and that builds into the theme of like Daniel Radcliffe, Manny, the corpse, feeling like, am I garbage? Is that why I'm thrown out? Right? It's this like whole thing, and it's like, what is going on? And then yeah, also in Everything Everywhere All at Once, like, you think about the sequences that are like Prime Waymond or whatever his that guy's name, like in the future when he's in the RV, and it's like clearly like, you know, like egg crate and stuff like that, all like to make it look like sci-fi stuff and like springs and things. it's like there's a vibe between an aesthetic between both movies that they definitely share.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. This is also pretty early on, like in the lifespan of A24. I think this is like kind of a key movie in like them becoming a bigger thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely remember that being part of the like the kind of
that like wave of like, oh man, there's some good movies here. Like, you know, they, because it was like this, Moonlight came out that same year, which is you know, obviously also a big one. But yeah, I mean, that year, like, you look at like 2015, 2016, the A24 lineup, you have Room, and you have The Witch, and you have Green Room, and you have The Lobster, and Swiss Army Man, and American Honey, and Moonlight, and 20th Century Women, and like, man, there's some bangers here. This is a good movie.
What was 2017 Hereditary or 2018?
2018 was Hereditary. I think by the time Hereditary comes out, like, they're pretty well established at that point. Like, it's still a big, like it's wild that movie became as big of a hit as it was. And I think that was because of, like, you know, the reputation they had built up a little bit over that time. But then, yeah, Hereditary, like, you know, they've been able to launch careers at A24, and like really interesting filmmakers get to start their careers there, which is cool. The Daniels, Ari Aster, Greta Gerwig had Lady Bird there and all that stuff. So, yeah. Neat.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I think ultimately I'm positive on the movie, but that first, I don't know, 30 or 45 minutes or whatever, I was like, man, that sucks. Like, I was like, it's just so sad that I was not going to like lock in with the movie. And then I did, and I don't know what it was. And it's just like, holy shit.
I'm glad you did. We should talk about the ending of the movie also, because you have to refresh your memory on some of this stuff, Mike. But so, Mary Elizabeth Winstead does pop up like in a scene towards the end of the movie.
For real. I thought that was going to be a very funny gag that she's just the phone background. Yeah.
But she does pop up. And so Daniel Radcliffe thinks that she is his wife or something, right? Something along those lines.
Yeah, he thinks he remembers them being a couple. When he was alive.
And so they finally make their way off the island and like get back to civilization, and they organize a meeting with her, and it turns out that she has no idea who he is, right? Is that
So then there's a point where Paul Dano, it's actually his phone and his phone background that Daniel Radcliffe sees. And so they do this whole thing where they're acting out scenes and building memories. And oh my God. And they're like, it's actually Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano falling in love, which is incredible, and all this stuff. And then he has to reveal that, like, you've actually never met this person. This is my phone. And it like destroys Daniel Radcliffe. They end up in her backyard, is like where they stumble out of the woods into her backyard, like by accident, basically. The bond between Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano has repaired and grown strong again. And so he's like, you gotta go talk to her. You got, like, this is your chance, man. Cause he's revealed, Paul Dano, that this was just some random girl on the bus that he used to see.
Yeah.
And he snuck a picture of her. So he's never actually talked to her. And her daughter comes out into the backyard and sees Paul Dano in a corpse. And it turns into this whole, you know, comedy of errors farce thing where they call the cops and
yeah, like the news reports are there, and like Paul Dano's family comes by too, right?
Yeah, yeah. And originally there he, I don't know if he says that he's Manny, which is Daniel Radcliffe's character. I don't know if Paul Dano says that or if the news just assumes that he's Manny somehow. So his father shows up to identify the body. Paul Dano's father shows up to identify the body, and they unzip the body bag, and it's Daniel Radcliffe and not Paul Dano. And it turns into a whole thing, and then he's like, no, it was me, and I blah blah blah, and I love that man, and he grabs the corpse and the body and dives down a hill back into the woods. Like they're gonna be together forever in the forest is how it ends. Well and then they catch him. He gets to the beach, they catch him on the beach with at the ocean,
yeah,
and arrest him, and he's trying to explain, no, he can fart, he's a lie, like it's a whole thing, he's like these magical powers he has. And just like as they're walking away arresting him, you hear like a little fart in the distance, and they all turn around and look wistfully as they start to cry as he jet skis off into the ocean. And then it cuts to credits, and you're just like, what is happening? What is going on? The Daniels.
I do remember for some reason, like Mary Elizabeth Winstead's delivery of the line, what the fuck?
Yes.
It's like burned in my brain for some reason.
Yeah. When he starts to fart as they're walking away, and like he's like, show them, Manny, show them. And nothing happens. And he's like all sad. And they start to walk away, and you hear a fart. And I think the cop is like, come on, man, to Paul Dano. And he's like, yeah, no, that wasn't me. And they like all turn and look back at Daniel Radcliffe. And she said, like, it goes on for a while. And she's like, what the fuck? Like, she has a really great line reading of it. Yeah. And then he, the tide comes in, and he jet skis with his farts out into the ocean. Cut the credits.
Yeah. And there it is. Swiss Army Man. I wanted to rewatch it before this discussion, but obviously didn't get the chance to. I was too busy watching Star Trek V. Got to prepare for that Star Trek First Contact episode.
Yes.
I'm glad that you ultimately enjoyed it, Mike. Do you think, like, if you were to watch it again, now knowing where it goes, would you like latch onto a little bit more of that first half?
I think potentially. I think maybe I just wasn't on board for the shtick of him being dead. Like that long, like he is a corpse for like 20, 30 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
And then there is the very funny scene, which we didn't talk about, where your quote from the beginning was, where he's trying to he has to teach him how to talk and teach him how to do all this, you know, human stuff.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get him to remember things from his life. And Paul Dano starts singing the theme from Jurassic Park. And Daniel Radcliffe joins in, and he's like, you do remember, you know, Jurassic Park. And he's like, what is Jurassic Park? And he says, if you don't know Jurassic Park, you don't know shit. So around there is where I started to be like, okay, I'm kind of into this. Daniel Radcliffe is a real person now.
Right. And I like Jurassic Park.
I like Jurassic Park. And that's fun. So maybe knowing that it does get to a point where I am very into it might help me get through those early half.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Any last thoughts on Swiss Army Man, Mike, before we move on into Puss in Boots: The Last Wish?
No, I think that's good. I'm just excited to see more of the Daniels. You know, it is fun to see these two movies and see how similar stylistically and a lot of editing choices and stuff like that are the same. So it's cool that these two very weird filmmakers can make two very weird films and be very successful with them.
Yeah, absolutely. They are very weird, and obviously they're only getting bigger. I know in between these two movies, one of the Daniels, Daniel Scheinert, did make another movie, which I saw. The Death of Dick Long was the name of it.
Oh, I think I heard of that. Yeah.
And I remember like not being super into it. That movie does have its fans, but I was just like, I don't know. It's very different than both Swiss Army Man and Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, it's a dark comedy. It's a, you know, I think it's sort of attempted like a Blood Simple-esque movie, and it didn't really work for me.
Okay.
But I'd be curious to watch it again, just, you know, post Everything Everywhere and all that kind of stuff. But that was only one of the Daniels. They weren't working at their full power.
Right.
You know, so yeah, they made these two movies. I think now the only thing on the horizon, I'm sure they're working on something, like some other movie. Oh, actually, in February 2024, it was revealed that Daniel's next feature film would be released on June 12th, 2026. So
okay,
2 years from now, they'll have a movie. They also did direct one episode of Star Wars: The Skeleton Crew. So that's going to be happening on Disney Plus at some point.
Can't wait.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So that is Swiss Army Man. I'm glad that Mike D finally got the chance to watch it. And now it's time to move on into the movie that Mike made me watch, which is Puss in Boots: The Last Wish.
I am Puss in Boots. Holy frijoles. Hey, Giant!
see something cool?
Gracias, the legend will never die!
Puss in Boots, you died.
I have 9 lives.
And how many times have you died already?
No, Puss in Boots doesn't need a spotter. Watch! Watch! A cat always lands on his feet. Watch!
You are down to your last life. Mama Luna's always on the lookout for a new lab cat.
I am no lab cat. I am Puss in Boots.
Not anymore.
Meow.
This is a person party, Pickles. That's your party.
So this is where dignity goes to die.
Living my vida loca. Hey!
You don't look like a Pickles.
Well, you don't look like a cat.
Full disclosure, I'm a therapy doc. Wanna rub my belly?
Hard buzz.
Oh.
They found me.
Goldilocks and the Three Bears Crying Family.
Make her talk.
Excuse me, my darling. We're looking for the legendary Puss in Boots. Have you perhaps seen him?
What's a Puss in Boots?
He is me!
Oh!
Normally, I have a sore. It's like a whole thing, you know?
Okay.
Get that cat. Dead or alive will be just right.
Bounty hunters. Get yourself, boss. I need your help.
Whenever I team up with you, things go wrong.
Cool. Another member of the team. I'm Puss's therapy dog.
Definitely not.
Finally. You need therapy.
Oh, I have got to learn how to do that.
Lives flashing before your eyes?
Pray for mercy from Puss in Boots.
Espresso.
I don't trust you.
Trust me.
You gotta trust him. Look at those eyes.
You call that cute?
And with the paws, am I doing it?
Stop. You're gonna give yourself a hernia.
All right, that was from the trailer for Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, directed by Joel Crawford, starring Antonio Banderas, Salma Hayek, and more. And it was released in 2022. Now, Mike D., why did you want to make me watch Puss in Boots, The Last Wish?
Well, I really wanted to examine the thematic. I can't even pretend to come up with anything. Puss in Boots, The Last Wish is one of those movies that is like a 10-year later sequel. I don't know if it's actually 10 years, but it's somewhere in there.
11 years.
It's even longer. That has no right to be half as good as it actually ends up being. And I watched this, I think, last year when it hit VOD or something. I don't remember exactly when I watched it, but watched it with some friends and was just like blown away. I had so much fun with it. It's another one of those movies that has like a really funny, I guess that's the connection potentially between Swiss Army Man and Puss in Boots, Last Wish. Really funny stuff, but
I think they're both funny movies, but also movies about like living life to the fullest.
And very dark at times. Yeah, 100%. So there is thematic connections there. And it ends with a Shrek 5 tease, which really feels like a culmination of a 8-year joke on this podcast. So yes. We had to finally get there. And so Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Yeah. This is a movie I wanted to see when it came out, only because leading up to it, I didn't care about it.
Yeah.
I've actually never seen the 2011 Puss in Boots movie. And
did you watch it?
I did not. Okay. I kind of figured I could just kind of jump in and I'd be fine.
Yeah.
And that was the case. Although there is when Katie Softpaw shows up, I was like, she's probably in the first movie.
That's the only thing that I was like, you won't really get the whole Salma Hayek thing. But
yeah, I mean, I got it pretty quick. Like establish her character pretty quickly and talk about how they almost got married and all that kind of stuff. But like she just felt like a character that was like she's been around before.
Yeah, this is a reveal. Yeah.
Yes. I had not seen the 2011 Puss in Boots, and so this coming out in 11 years later, I was like, yeah, no, I don't really care all that much. And then the reviews started coming in for Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, and people were going nuts for this movie. People were falling all over themselves to praise Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. People were loving this. And so
our favorite hero.
He's our favorite fearless hero. And so, yeah, people were going nuts for it. And I heard a lot of comparisons to Spider-Verse in terms of like the animation style for certain sequences. And I was like, okay, yeah, I do want to see this. I'm going to check this out at some point. But, you know, it came out like Christmas 2022, I had too many other stuff to see. You know, that was the thing. There was a lot of
Oscar's
movies.
Homework to do.
I had Oscar's homework to do. And yeah, could not make the time for Puss in Boots 2. I was watching Avatar 2 in the theater next door, you know?
Yeah. In the time you could watch Puss in Boots twice, you were watching one Avatar. Yeah,
exactly. I think that is actually, that's true. Puss in Boots: The Last Wish is 1:40. Avatar 2 is 3:10. I think you could watch Puss in Boots: The Last Wish exactly two times in the time it would take to watch Avatar: The Way of Water.
Nailed it.
But both good movies. Yeah. So I was looking forward to Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. I was glad that you chose it. It was one that, like, once I missed it in theaters, I was like, oh yeah, I got to get around to that. But I'm not sure I ever would have like just watched it on my own. I feel like I needed the push for this one. And that was part of my reason for choosing Antonio Banderas as one of my nominees for The Complete Works Season 4.
Eventually get to Puss in Boots.
It was to eventually get to Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. So yeah, I was obviously pretty familiar with the Shrek franchise. I saw Shrek 1 and 2 many, many times. I've seen Shrek 3 a few times too. I never saw Shrek Forever After. Never saw the fourth one. And never saw Puss in Boots. And so this is like my return to this series. And this movie's a blast. It's super fun. It was great to hear Antonio Banderas as Puss in Boots again. I forgot how much I love that performance.
It's so good.
And how good he is. Just like, oh, are you too old to play Zorro now? You can play Puss in Boots and just be Zorro again.
Just do the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's great. And even, I mean, Salma Hayek, which makes it like a Desperado reunion between the two of them. And then, yeah, this movie, I think, feels much more sincere than the Shrek movies. The Shrek movies are, you know, steeped in that kind of like post-irony thing. Like, it was very much meant to be like, oh yeah, Disney does the fairy tales, but we take the piss out of the fairy tales. You know, like that was their whole thing, and did that very successfully for those first two movies, right? But this feels like, oh no, this is just going to be like a genuine fairy tale thing that uses elements of it and kind of turns stuff on their head, but like isn't being like, you know, ironic about it, I guess. Like, it feels like it's, you know, kind of building upon all that in a fun way.
Yeah. I watched the first like 30 minutes before we started recording. So
yeah,
I didn't get to watch all of it again, but the movie even starts with the title card, like, this story is a fairy tale. And you're like,
yeah,
fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
let's be earnest about this for once.
Right. As opposed to the way Shrek opens, where it is opening with that like fairy tale opening. And then Shrek's like, yeah, like that's ever going to happen. And he flushes his outhouse and All-Star starts playing.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Also valid. I love Shrek. It's a great movie.
Yeah. We can't, I don't know. Yeah.
can't deny.
No.
But yeah, I had a blast with Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. I thought it was very fun. It's just a really fun adventure. Also, occasionally very scary.
Like, very dark.
Very dark. So the idea of the movie is that Puss in Boots has died 8 times and he is down to his 9th life.
Right.
And that instills the fear of death in him. And so he goes on this quest to find like the fabled wishing star and wish his 9 lives back so he can like just, you know, get back to his swashbuckling ways. And yeah, like basically like the thing that haunts him throughout the movie is this wolf that is like the living embodiment of death. And every time he shows up, he like wields these sickles. And that first action scene with him and Puss fighting it out in the bar is crazy. It's really good and like genuinely very intense.
Yeah, that's what I got up to when I was doing my rewatch when Puss makes it to Mama Luna's. So like right after that.
Okay.
But yeah, holy shit. Like that moment when the wolf is when they're fighting in the bar and Puss is like too slow and he gets grazed by one of the sickles and like the single drop of blood goes down his forehead. When the scene right before this is him singing this whole song about being a fearless hero who's never been touched by a blade. And then he just immediately has a panic attack. Like his fur all puffs up, his pupils dilate, he starts panting and he runs and gets out of there and runs from a fight for the first time time ever. And it's like, holy shit, this is a kid's movie? Like, this is Puss in Boots. What are we doing here? But it is, that's, I think, my favorite part of the movie is that it is very funny and silly and has the Shrek Puss in Boots thing, but then also is like one of the most accurate and intense depictions of PTSD and panic attacks I've ever seen. It's a wild combo.
Yeah, absolutely. And so all that stuff I think is really terrific. And then everything, like the entire ensemble this movie builds up. I mean, this movie introduces Perito, the dog who becomes Puss's sidekick. And really, like the Puss, Kitty, Perito, like trio is just
chef's kiss.
It's Shrek, Donkey, Fiona. It's the same. The same thing.
It is 100%. Yeah.
as that first Shrek movie, but it works really well. And Perito is such a delight. Yeah, like, I don't know, you know, talking animal sidekicks, like for me, sometimes that could be annoying in movies. This guy, great. Like, I would follow Perito to the ends of the earth. He's terrific.
The fact when they reveal that Perito's sweater is in fact the sock they stuffed him in and threw him in the river or whatever they did, that's like the most fucked up thing I've ever seen in a movie. And it's devastating. And Perito's just like, yeah, but whatever, I have friends now. So like, he doesn't care. Like,
yeah, just like pure optimism the entire time. And he was great. He should have got the wish at the end.
Come on.
But that's the thing. Yeah, he doesn't need the wish. He's just happy being him, and that's great.
Isn't Florence Pugh Goldilocks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She rules.
Florence Pugh is Goldilocks, and also Olivia Colman as Mama Bear and Ray Winstone as Papa Bear.
Yeah, like what? Sexy B Soane, Ray Winstone.
Sexy B Soane, Ray Winstone. Yeah, and they're a great trio as well, like the Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And I don't know, like part of it's just like, oh yeah, these are like very easy jokes, like, oh yeah, like too hot, too cold, just right, or whatever. I laughed every time. I don't know,
every single time.
They found a lot of really fun variations on it. And you know, I liked them kind of being thrown to the mix. I don't know, I like it. It's sort of like the movie Rat Race, or like,
yes, 100%,
you know, just a lot of people all going after the same thing, you know. And
I mean, even John Mulaney as Jack Horner, which is very funny.
Yes.
His like henchmen that he is just like ruthlessly killing throughout the whole movie is so funny. Yes. And then they like start being scared of it. Like, it's so funny. It's wild.
There's great visual gags with that. Like, you see a guy's like he just becomes a skeleton. There's a moment where he's like, oh man, I love these guys. And he's just like walking on his henchmen as a bridge, like in between two cliffs, all that kind of stuff, which is very fun. And he gets like a Jiminy Cricket-esque like conscience to
I forgot about that.
Talk to him for a while, who then abandons him because he's like, oh no, you're an irredeemable monster.
He's doing like a Jimmy Stewart impression.
Yeah.
It's very good.
It's great. And yeah, Mulaney is the bad guy is really fun. I just had a great time with this. And the animation is genuinely very, very impressive. Like, yes. It really feels like, you know, we've talked about Spider-Verse a lot in the past few years. And I think especially in the last year or two, like you've really felt the influence of that movie on modern American animation and people being like, oh shit, we can do this now. Like we can do our own different kind of art styles and stuff. And it can work. And, you know, everything was so dominated by like that Pixar DreamWorks, like very similar looking CGI for like 20 years. And so it's really like fun and innovative to see like this second Puss in Boots movie, you know, which I haven't seen the first Puss in Boots, but I would imagine it probably looks pretty similar to Shrek. You know,
as far as I remember,
you know, and this movie feels like, oh yeah, every time it cuts into an action scene, it's doing the like, you know, kind of stop motion sort of like pseudo like stopping kind of thing. Like it looks really cool. It's neat.
They're doing the thing where like somebody is running and it's like a little bit of a weird frame rate, and there's like the action lines like drawn on there, and like remember in Spider-Verse, like there's a couple times like the where they put like pow, you know, or whatever, like they put a text bubble or whatever.
Yeah.
And this movie stops like just short of doing that, but it is that kind of vein.
Yeah, exactly. Like it looks like it's still like grabbing an anime influence as well, and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's just bringing in more visual style than I would have expected from Puss in Boots 2, you know?
Right. Yeah, the section that I watched at the beginning, like just that first like party and then fight with like the giant of Del Mar or whatever, is like looks incredible. It was like holy, like right at the beginning of the movie, they're just like really showing off, like this is what we're doing for the next hour or two, or you know, this is what we're gonna be having, and that's a lot of fun. And it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, Puss in Boots himself, great. like watching him. He's a good time. I kind of want to go back and watch the 2011 Puss in Boots. I don't think it'll be nearly as good as this. Like how is the 2011 one? Have you seen it?
I've seen it, but I don't really remember it at all. Okay. I'm sure it is much closer to Shrek than this, more in that kind of like sarcastic, funny, you know, whatever, sort of taking the piss type thing, like you said before. And I think it is that CGI, same style as that, but I haven't seen it in a long time, so I don't really remember.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason I never saw it was that I was 18 when it came out, so I was I don't need to go see the new Puss in Boots movie. But also B, I remember reviews like kind of being fairly mixed. Like I don't know, I just remember like, you know, the Shrek series, like, you know, got like Shrek 1 and 2 were both like very well reviewed movies, and then Shrek 3, I remember liking it, but like it definitely did not get the same level of reception as the first two did. Like it was like, oh, this is seen as a step down from the first two movies. And then Shrek 4 was kind of the same thing, and at that point I was 17 and was like, well, no, this is supposed to be bad, so yeah. Whatever. So yeah, when we eventually do the Shrek-trospective, when Shrek 5 finally comes out, which, man, that goes back to the beginning of this podcast.
That's like literally the first running joke we ever had on this podcast.
Yeah, like that goes back to 2015, I think, when we were like, we saw a news story about like DreamWorks prepping Shrek 5. Like, oh yeah, it's going to happen. And we were like, okay, Shrek 5, here we go. It just became a running bit and it kept getting delayed, or we kept not hearing anything about it. But we've been promising for years that if Shrek 5 is ever to happen, that we will do a Shrek-trospective episode of the podcast where we rewatch all of the Shrek movies leading up to Shrek 5. I think they would have to include the Puss in Boots movies, right?
Would have to, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the Shrek cinematic universe.
Yeah, I just found the text between us. January 13th, 2023. Did you watch the new Puss in Boots movie? Because it basically confirms a Shrek 5. All caps. What? I have not seen it. What do you mean? And I said, it ends with Puss in Boots saying, let's go see some old friends. And the camera pulls back to reveal that they're sailing a ship towards far, far away.
Right.
And you said, oh my God, will the retrospective finally happen?
Now, so this was over a year ago now that we had that text exchange.
Yes.
And still nothing.
Which is crazy. But yeah, that moment, is it the post credits or mid credits, or is it, I don't really remember exactly
when it
happened.
It's like right before the credits. There's like a title that appears on screen, I think. And then it's just that last scene of them on the boat and like going, oh, we're going to see some old friends. And it's, yeah, you see the far, far away sign in the distance. There is also a silent Shrek and Donkey cameo at one point.
Yes.
When Puss's life like flashes before his eyes and you see like just a bunch of various adventures that he's had. And the Shrek, it's like the Lion King thing where like they're walking on the log and it's Puss and Shrek and Donkey, which was pretty fun. I guess there's also a character from the 2011 Puss in Boots that does pop up in one of those scenes too, but obviously I did not recognize
that. Yeah, I don't remember. I think we need to talk about the most controversial aspect of Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Okay.
That fucking new DreamWorks opening where they show the other DreamWorks franchises, including Boss Baby and the Bad Creditors, Bad Animals. What was that movie called?
The Bad Guys.
Bad Guys, yeah. In there.
Yeah, that movie came out like 6 months before Puss in Boots The Last Wish did.
They were really banking on that movie being something.
I think it did okay. Maybe
I think it did, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I kind of liked the
you son of a bitch.
It was fun. I don't know. I like, hey, they're driving a car and hey, Poe from Kung Fu Panda is here. And the Boss Baby, I was watching this movie with my girlfriend and she fell asleep about a half hour in, but she was enjoying it for the most part. But we were watching that intro and, she started laughing really hard. And I was like, why are you laughing? It was like when the Boss Baby showed up.
Yeah.
And she was laughing because she was remembering me laughing really hard at one joke in the Boss Baby.
Incredible.
Which was the joke in the Boss Baby when they're on like the they have to go, they're going to like an Elvis convention or something, or going to Vegas for like the baby convention, and there's also like an Elvis convention going on or something, and somebody tricks one of the, like the Boss Baby tricks one of the Elvises and like disappears, and the Elvis goes, whoa, the devil in disguise.
I remember that.
And I think I laughed for like a solid 5 minutes. It was a really good joke.
It's probably the best joke in all the Boss Babies.
In either Boss Baby movie, I would say that's easily the best joke.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yes. A movie I only watched because we had to review Boss Baby 2 on the Goldblum podcast.
Yes, correct.
Yes. Anyway, other thoughts about Puss in Boots: Last Wish, Mike? Anything else that you want to bring up?
I can't remember. I didn't get to watch all of it, so I can't really remember anything specific that I wanted to bring up. But I mean, mm-hmm. I guess that final fight around the star with all the bears, and they're like getting sucked into a portal, right, or some shit. Yeah. And that whole thing, and then the death guy shows up. It's intense and scary and
yeah,
genuinely frightening every time the wolf whistle.
Oh man, it's so cool. It's so great. And yeah, that whole final sequence where there is so many things happening, and the movie is very clear about what's going on and the geography of the action and all that kind of stuff. And you're finishing character arcs, and as you're getting through, like, you know, everything with Goldilocks, and she gets the chance to make her wish, and then she realizes, you know, she had everybody's lesson is like, we have what we all we want right in front of us, you know. And right. That's everybody's lesson in this movie is that. And yeah, I think that's that moment when, like, you know, the baby bear is about to be, like, you know, eviscerated or whatever. Like, it just, like, yeah. I'm not sure what happens to them once they go through that portal, but, like, seems bad.
Turn to stardust or something.
Yeah, it's like that last minute save where she comes in and saves him, sacrificing her wish in the process. Like, that's great. Love that. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Good movie. That's all.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, I can't think of anything other specific things I want to talk about in Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, other than I had a really good time watching it. While I was watching it, I was like, oh man, like, this must have won the Oscar for Best Animated Feature, right? Like, I was like, oh, this must have won. And I went back and looked, and it didn't. But it did lose to Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. And I was like, well, all right.
All right. Fine.
Yeah. I also loved that movie. So it's fine. But yeah, I think this is a really fun movie. I think it was also like a huge hit when it came out. And I think just feels like it's an exciting time in animation right now where, you know, there's more stylized, weird animation coming, kind of like Spider-Verse kind of broke open the doors for everyone.
Yeah.
And so Puss in Boots: The Last Wish was able to kind of do part of some of that. The new Ninja Turtles movie was also, that too. Mitchell's vs. the Machines, drools, love that mm-hmm. movie. I'm glad it exists. It's a good time. It'll satisfy us until Shrek 5 comes out. I hope when Shrek 5 comes out, it's more like this. Like, I hope it has that kind of stylization to it, you know?
Yeah, that'd be really fun. It'll be a pretty big disappointment if they just go right back to the just like regular CGI thing. But I have also heard that Kung Fu Panda 4 is like a pretty big letdown, which is disappointing.
Yeah, well, I've heard, so I have not seen Kung Fu Panda 4. I actually still have not seen 3 yet, is on Netflix. And it's been in my queue. After we watched Kung Fu Panda 2 for the podcast, for the Michelle Yeoh podcast, I was like, I really enjoyed that. I'm going to hold on to Kung Fu Panda 3. I have heard that 4 is like fine. I believe the Furious 5 are not in it, which, and I think that is a big part of like why people are a little annoyed about it.
That makes sense.
Or if they are in it, it's like, you know, briefly like off in the background or something. Like, you don't actually see them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, isn't it like Angelina Jolie and Jackie Chan and like,
I would imagine they would want to save money.
Yes.
Not have those guys be in there. Yeah. It says the Furious Five make a brief non-speaking appearance in the end credits.
Wow.
With the exception of Seth Rogen providing screams for Mantis. He pops, he has some screams.
Incredible.
Yeah, and it also like brings back, I know Kung Fu Panda 4 like brings back the bad guy from the first movie too.
Really?
Ian McShane's character.
Whoa.
So yeah, there's that too. But Ke-Hee Kwan's in it, and that's fun.
That's neat.
Love seeing him and stuff. He's gonna be the lead of an action movie soon. Did you see this?
No. What?
An action movie that I think 8711 or what, like the, you know, the John Wick.
Yeah, Chad Stahelski and those guys.
Yeah, that crew. I believe they're like doing the stunts for. It's called With Love. So yeah.
Neat. That's exciting.
Pretty
I heard
cool.
Monkey Man's really good.
I've heard Monkey Man's good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So yeah, action. It's back in a big way, baby.
And it all started because of Puss in Boots: The Last Wish.
Yes, absolutely. Which, actually, speaking of action movies, I'll just very, very briefly, a new trailer for Furiosa dropped today, and man, can't wait.
I saw that it happened. I didn't watch it.
But, have you seen either of any of the trailers for Furiosa? Oh man, yeah, you're unsullied still at this point.
I'm unsullied still. Next time I go to the movies, which I don't know when that'll be, but I'm sure I'll see it.
Probably be Furiosa, maybe.
Maybe. I did want to go see, totally unrelated to any of this, but Late Night with the Devil, that David Desmalchian movie, which I doubt Furiosa trailer would play before that.
You never know. I mean, if you're seeing it at like the AMC or the Reel or whatever, they kind of just toss trailers in front of
that's
things.
True,
there's no
yeah.
curation. like I do at the Roxy.
Yeah, you're right.
Which we are playing Late Night with the Devil for a Late Night Oddity screening next month. And I think we're talking about maybe giving it a run.
Nice.
So I'm excited to see that. Yeah, no, there's a lot of, it's Monkey Man, Late Night with the Devil, Civil War comes out in like 2 weeks.
Immaculate seems to be getting buzz.
People do like Immaculate, yeah. I am curious about it. So yeah, a lot of cool stuff. And Apes. Apes are coming soon.
When's that?
That's beginning of May, I think.
What?
Yeah. Also, I'm hearing The Fall Guy is great. With The Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling is supposed to be really good. So that's great. Love to see it.
Look what a beautiful bounty Puss in Boots The Last Wish has given us.
As a result of Puss in Boots The Last Wish, we now have all these incredible films.
Yes. Now that the movie saved cinemas.
All right. I think we can start wrapping it up, Mike. What do you think?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Mike D, where can we find you online this week?
You can find me at MD Film Blog on Twitter, Letterboxd, and Blue Sky. And if you would like to donate and support the show, you could do that at our Ko-fi page, which is ko-fi.com/MikeAndMikePods, where you can also donate $50 if you want to dictate an episode, pick a movie, pick a topic.
Yeah. We're going to have two episodes in April that people have paid money for. So look out for those.
Yes. Shout out to those guys. And then if you want merch, you can get merch on our Redbubble, which is mikeandmikepods.redbubble.com.
That's right. You can find me online at msmithfilmblog on Twitter, Mike Smith Film on Letterboxd, and Radio Mike Sandwich on Instagram. Thank you so much for listening to Mike and Mike Go to the Movies. I'm Mike Smith. That's Mike DiCriccio. Don't forget to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast app. And if you want to contact us, you can tweet at us at Mike and Mike Pod. You can find the rest of our podcast in Rapture Press alongside many other podcasts, all kinds of comic books, movie news, and all that good stuff. So next week, I think it's going to be a time to stress Mike D out once again with a discussions episode.
What? I'm hearing the wolf whistling in the background. I'm so scared.
we'll just be talking about some of the stuff we've been watching recently.
Yes.
And in the meantime, The Complete Works will be returning soon for season 4. Stay tuned for updates on that. And that is the end of this week's episode of Mike and Mike Go to the Movies. We'll see you on the other side.
All right, man, that's enough. Okay.
That wasn't me.
What?
Oh.